This is 1580 The Bet. This is 1580 The Bet. WJFK AM Morningside. And WJFK HD3 Manassas. Always live on the free Odyssey app. DC's home for wagertainment.
Biggest names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business, a man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The wonderful Sports Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, our amazing crew, and you here on Westwood One Sports. First hour of the show absolutely flew by. Started talking about the San Antonio Spurs. Awesome. Honestly, super impressive win last night over the Minnesota Timberwolves. That has me thinking, how is it not just going to be Spurs Thunder in the Western Conference Final for the next decade in the NBA? How is that not going to be? Who's standing in the way right now in the Western Conference of that happening? Not that it can happen, but name me the team that's going to stand in the way of that happening right now in the Western Conference. Spurs and Thunder moving forward in the Western Conference Final. And how this core, Wemby, 22, Castle, 21, Dylan Harper, 20, they are right now, and I understand that they don't have to play the 2024 Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Final if they beat Minnesota. They have to play the 26th Thunder. But this version of the Spurs is farther ahead right now than the 24 Thunder were at the same time. And that is scary for the rest of the NBA. We talked about the Daryl Morey firing in Philadelphia, why I feel like he got a raw deal, even if I'm acknowledging I'm not really going to defend Morey and say he should have kept his job, but you can understand why I would defend him and why I feel like he was basically in a fight with one arm tied behind his back. And that arm tied behind his back, the health of Joel Embiid. And we close the hour telling you Michael Penix back throwing for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think the Falcons will be very good this year. And another season outside looking in of the postseason coming for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll do more NFL coming up later this hour. Give you some Major League Baseball as well, including the skidding Los Angeles Dodgers. And if it's time to hit the panic button in L.A. But joining us right now to kick off this hour, because we've got point spreads in the NFL. And we're getting to the nitty-gritty in the NBA. So joining us here, NBC Sports betting analyst, good friend of the show, the great Drew Dinsick, better known to you and yours as the Whale Capper, on Twitter at @whale_capper. My friend, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to be with you. And actually, this is exciting because I'm a West Coast guy. I have not heard many of the schedule leaks, mostly this morning doing my NFL kind of prep and refresh for the show. I was looking at the international games and just trying to make sense out of, you know, who got the advantages, disadvantages of losing the home game. And I'm excited to hear what some of these spreads look like and think about NFL for real.
Well, let me actually, I want to start with the dealer's choice, right? Because, you know, you do great work with tennis also. But, I mean, I kind of look at your two areas of expertise, at least for show purposes, the NFL and the NBA, right? Dealer's choice, yeah. To you. Do you want to start with the NBA or the NFL? And we'll do both.
I think there's probably less to say about the NBA, so let's just rip off a Band-Aid. Your intro was funny because as I was listening, I was like, kind of feels like Western Conference is just going to be Thunder Spurs. I was like, bold take, Nick. you think?
But what I said was, to be fair to me, you went beyond this year.
And I was like, actually, yeah. It's a really good question. Like, who besides these two is going to represent the Western Conference Finals in the next 4 or 5 years? I'm struggling, man.
I don't know who it is. Like, everyone not that teams can't get there. Minnesota could win this series. I don't think it's likely. Maybe you want to say it's Minnesota. Maybe it's Denver. But I mean, they put the whole roster up for sale outside of Jokic. Golden State's at the end of their run. Like, the Lakers aren't ready yet. Yeah. The Rockets don't make me laugh here. And, Drew, what I said was, you know, from 53 to 57, the Celtics played the then Syracuse Nationals five straight Eastern Conference Finals. And then the next decade, 65 to 69, Boston and Philly played in five straight Eastern Conference Finals. I wouldn't be shocked if we had the next five Western Conference Finals to be thought. So it's not just like this year, I think we'll get it. What's standing in the way of this not happening for the next 4 or 5 years here, right?
I mean, Wemby's an alien. Who knows how his body handles the continuing, the continual aging. Certainly there have been these types of, kind of one-of-one physical freaks that, ultimately something happens to derail their availability. So that's the one, that's kind of the most obvious thing, right? I mean, if I gave you the over under on number of seasons Wemby plays 60 games over the next 5 years, it's probably like 3.5, maybe 4.5, right?
Well, I think the better question would be, and that is a good question, but wouldn't a better question be, okay, so let's say he plays 50 regular season games. As long as he's there for the postseason? Because here's the thing, right? Here's the crazy thing, right? And I said this to start the show also. It's like Wemby's one thing, right? We all knew Wemby coming in was going to be this alien even before he got drafted. Yes. The fact that Castle and Harper are both so good already means that even if you have to go without Wemby for a lot, like, they're still going to be like a top 3 or 4 seed. And then here's this alien coming in for the playoffs. Like, it's just, like, that's really where I get stuck here on San Antonio. Like, who's beating these two teams? Because it's not just Wemby. You have Castle's 21 and Harper's 20, and they're both monsters already. Like, we don't see this happen in the NBA that often.
You're absolutely right. And the step forward Castle took this year, particularly offensively, it was completely ignored. I don't know why nobody really. I mean, some people were like talking about him as potentially, third team All NBA, and kind of noting the step forward. But he largely won the Rookie of the Year last year based on like just aggressive volume in the tanking part of the season. Right? They were literally just like, hey, we got nothing else to do here. We might as well give Castle the opportunity to, absorb 35% usage in these games. And it was like, okay, this is I still didn't see what. What was coming in terms of a step forward from him offensively, and it's super impressive. And Dylan Harper, the sky's the limit in terms of his offensive creation. So you're making a very fair point. I think the broader point, even beyond just the Spurs, with or without Wemby's health, are still going to be a problem. Who else? Certainly, you have sort of these stars on islands now with Luka and Jokic. There's not a clear way to put talent around these guys with the way that the current NBA is constructed for team building purposes that they're going to actually be competitive with a team that has this many young pieces and incorrect. In their places with kind of fair compensation like San Antonio does. OKC may ultimately feel the pressure of having to pay everybody and keep everybody happy with their roles and responsibilities. Yeah, I mean, well, that looks like a foregone conclusion right this minute, right? Like, irrespective of what happens the rest of this season, we're assuming OKC probably wins. I think that actually is like one of the most likely kind of offseason outcomes here. And that just takes a little bit of pressure off their plate. That doesn't entirely fix things, but if you're going to get contributions like they're getting,
right?
It resets the clock, and if you're going to get contributions like you're getting from AJ Mitchell for years to come, which again, if you're taking this type of step forward in a playoff crucible, there's no reason to expect there isn't more from him. You're probably hitting your transition period running with a kind of massive amount of draft capital, massive amount of roster flexibility. Like, it's very, very tough for me to OKC not being in the Western Conference Finals for the next 5 years. Spurs likely kind of there as well. And honestly, you're probably talking about a complete unknown case, like some super team kind of comes out of the clouds like San Antonio did in year 4 or 5, right? Like, that's kind of where we're at here. And that doesn't feel all that likely. But
like Dallas lands a monster to pair with Flag and Kyrie comes.
You have to invent something. Exactly. That's exactly right. There's no common outcome to make it that likely. And I think, let me ask you, because I don't actually know your opinion on this, but like out of the next, I think the Western Conference finals this year should start with OKC minus five something. So I'm saying I think they have like an 85-ish% chance to win the Western Conference Finals. The next 5 years, I would feel much less confident of that because the Spurs' opportunity to grow and improve is you know, the ceiling is way unknown. If you
and they will have the experience of losing under their belts this year,
exactly,
moving forward.
Exactly.
Like the Thunder got in 24 when they lost to the Mavericks.
Exactly. Like, how do you line who wins the more Western Conference titles out of those next 5 years between the two? Is the balance of power going to shift to where we're literally like, what can OKC do to catch up with San Antonio? Or is San Antonio always going to be, the bridesmaid here? Well, yeah. How long do you think the shift takes? How do you think there will be a passing of the torch?
I think the Spurs have the player with the highest upside, right? Like, unquestionably.
I would say so.
It's not even, and that's no insult to SGA, who's going to win a second straight MVP. I think he's going to win. I hate to say it as a Knicks fan. I think he's going to win another Finals MVP coming up. But the Spurs have Wemby. I think you have to give the Spurs the edge because they have Wembanyama.
Yeah. So Spurs small favorite to win more Western Conference titles over the next 5 years sounds right to me.
Let me hit you with this. So I agree with you. Then I think the Thunder will win the Western Conference this year. I think they're going to, and look, I'm a Knicks fan. I hate to say it, but I think they're going to win the championship, right? So let me hit you with this.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would say, I guess you could say it. I think you'd be wrong. Let's say J-Dub comes back, right? I'm being honest, right? Let's say J-Dub comes back. Can the Thunder lose? Yes. Will they lose? Probably not. I think they'll beat the Spurs. If I told you right now that J-Dub is either A, and I don't think this will be the case. I'm inventing a scenario. J-Dub is either unavailable for the Western Conference Final or tweaks the hammy again and like is ineffective for the Western Conference Final. You said that you think the Thunder would be like an 80-ish% chance or more to win the Western Conference, which is not an insult to the Spurs. Just like think about the arcs of where these teams are. I don't necessarily disagree with you. If J-Dub's not right, does that change your opinion or is that opinion factoring in the possibility that J-Dub might not be right?
I'm counting on him to be available for 20 minutes a game, to get to that type of price. If you take
if
him out of the
not,
mix,
then what?
I'm like still in like the 75-80% range because ultimately the backfill for him is very, very good. honestly, everybody kind of finding their role and responsibility in his absence, is why I would say it's relative high confidence. They
this
find a way to get
stupid,
move him
right?
this offseason.
And stupid it's in a good ridiculous. Way, the way the kids use it. Like stupidly good.
Exactly. And I would say that just generally, like, the home court advantage matters. If this comes down to a game seven, the experience matters. And just like the overall idea that, the Spurs, and we've seen it already, these playoffs, like, the Spurs have lost games to inferior teams when they should have clearly won. And the idea of that one of those or two of those happening in a series against OKC, that just completely flips the table, right? Like, you know, if the Spurs come out in game one or game two on the road and they play like an awesome game, but at the end of the game, they just can't figure out a way to kind of get across the finish line and the experience, you know, the inexperience for them shows up. You have Wemby taking a bad three, in the final 2 minutes that, turns into a transition bucket for the Thunder. And it's like, well, they were there. They were right there. They could have stole it. That type of outcome feels pretty likely to me in the early going of that series. And that completely, flips the potential outcome. So, the Spurs could play a perfect seven-game series, and they could make this an all-out sweat for those of us who have staked most of their book on Thunder futures. So I'm prepared for it because, the regular season head-to-head between these teams, it wasn't great for the Thunder. And I remember watching those games in the moment and being like, I'm not going to let this sway my opinion too much because the imbalance of kind of intensity was very clear watching those games. Like the semifinal game in the NBA Cup is a great example, but the Spurs, like that was like their proving opportunity. They came in with so much more purpose and intensity than the Thunder did in that game.
And they were flat then, against the Knicks in the NBA Cup flat, final, to your point.
You said you remember it too. They were as flat as can be after that effort. So, I definitely think that overall, the talent and the present ability is much stronger right now for the Thunder, despite the fact that 27 and beyond, the Spurs are going to be a major problem for this team.
The Will Capper, Drew Densick on the show. You better, you bet. Westwood One Sports. Just like in like 10, 15 seconds here, because I do want to do some NFL. Is this disrespectful to Minnesota? Like, we're talking about this like it's a foregone conclusion.
I was going to say it's 4.5 disrespectful to the Spurs. Honestly,
four and a half point favorites in game six.
I think the bigger edge is actually under 218.5 in that game. Tough for me to see any world where game six is not a rock fight. Timberwolves only getting to, 96, 97 last night. Wait, did they even get there? But yeah,
97,
yeah. 97. Yeah, the Spurs have figured out a way to turn off the Julius Randle opportunities, which was kind of the only way that the Timberwolves were going to find enough offense to be competitive in the series with the injuries to their other key players. So tough for me to see how Timberwolves kind of show up and really give a full heart perform. They may have a good first quarter. They may have a good first half. But I think the Spurs ultimately put this team away in the second half and do it via defense. And I think the total should be more like 212. So under 218.5. Favorite look on that one.
I love how we started this off like, yeah, we're gonna do a ton of NFL. Here's 15 minutes on the NBA. Who will play the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Final game five tonight with the Cavs and the Pistons in Detroit?
I think it's gonna be Detroit, but man, that
in seven
third quarter was haunting. I think it's gonna be Detroit in six. I still think that they have the much better defense, and game six to me is gonna come down to defense. There's been like a little bit of a weird pattern with these NBA series where the middle portions of the series, it's been like just scoring both paluzas, and then you get to game six and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, this is a potential elimination game. Everybody just completely freezes in the second half of these games and these totals are coming in way under. So my guess is that game five is going to be a little bit more free-flowing. Pistons ultimately, I think, will find a way via Cade Cunningham to kind of score in the clutch, get a win here. 4.5 is a hair of a surcharge to back the Pistons here if you're kind of leaning a little too hard into the zigzag. So I'm not going to play game five here, but I think game six is, again, going to be relatively, if it's lined anywhere close to 212.5, and it may go up a little bit if we go over in this game, I think game six under is going to be a smash in Cavs Pistons.
Would you say that you are ready at this current point in time? And I say this because I know the work that you put in, and I know you want to give like an opinion that you've really like put some work into. And sure. And if not, like we just talk some games. Are you ready to do like a big time macro NFL question at this point in your preparation?
Yeah,
I've got
absolutely
a good one for you if that says.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. If I, because I think this is so fascinating. If I asked you right now, who will represent the AFC in Super Bowl 16?
Yeah.
This is not a price quest. It's not like I would bet this team at this price. Price irrespective. Who's going to win the AFC? Who is Drew Densick taking and why?
Yeah, so the balance of power between the conferences is being a little bit undercovered, I think, this year. The NFC, to me, is relatively complete teams. They're all, the margins separating the good teams are pretty narrow. You have just in general, like it feels like the balance of power right now is in the NFC. If you look across the AFC, you have quarterbacks that we know can do it, who are kind of at the, you know, the cream of the crop, best quarterbacks in the sport, but they're on very flawed teams. So you're literally sticking your neck out at this point to basically say, look, I trust this quarterback enough that, that they're going to be able to get me home. Obviously Bills, Ravens, Chiefs at the top of the list, having the best quarterbacks, but again, all three being on very flawed teams, is a little bit, tough to choose between. I think that the Bills move coach wise did not impress me. The Ravens move coach wise intrigued me. And then the Chiefs kind of rehabilitation of their roster was a little bit of an incomplete for me. So between those three teams, I would probably stake my claim to the Ravens, despite the fact that I feel like I annually donate this time of year to the Ravens losing efforts. So you're picking between those three teams solely based on quarterback. I think the Patriots are being a little bit slept on. As we talked about last week, they have one of the most talented teams and a quarterback who could very well be exactly in the mix of discussion with the top, you know, the MVP quarterbacks we just mentioned. And I think that the, you know, the rest of the AFC is, again, it's all flawed teams. Chargers have huge weaknesses. Texans have the best defense, clearly, but you know, huge questions on their offense, and you know, and we haven't even mentioned the Broncos, who were the one seed last year. Like, I'm never going to be a Bo Nix guy, but Sean Payton is one of the better coaches. So it is a flat earth, and if you had to make me make a donation, it's going to be on the Ravens again.
Ben, you know what, I donated a lot to Kansas City last year. I honestly think it's, you know, it's good to go back.
Donate
to
Kansas City again. Yeah,
all right, the one week one game I will ask you about.
Yes.
And we've known about this game, I think, the longest that we've known about any game in week one. Niners-Rams in Melbourne.
Week one.
Do you know the point spread of the game? If not, I will tell you. And then I'm going to ask you what you would bet. Are you aware of the point spread of the game? And look, both Drew and I know it's very early. We know that. Please continue. Just to say that.
It's a neutral game. Actually, the interesting wrinkle about this game is this takes away a home divisional game from the Rams.
It's probably a good thing because they're more Niner fans than Rams fans at SoFi every time they play, right?
Yes, that's not crazy. But this is a very meaningful game in a really competitive division.
Yeah,
and
it's
the Rams
annoying.
I ranted about
that on the show. You can't put this game in Melbourne, Niners, Rams. No, but two Super Bowl contenders. Do you want to guess the spread of the other game?
Yes.
You don't know it.
It's going to be under three. Rams two and a half. I'll say
Rams 2.5 minus 20. So you nailed it. We're really good. Close to being at three. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say
we
get there.
Right now, I think the Rams are plus six. I think the Niners are like a plus 3.5. So that makes total sense.
If you had to bet the game, which you don't, and it's May, so I'm mm-hmm. not suggesting anybody
mm-hmm.
should.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like? Just an opinion.
Niners, I think, at price is probably pretty good. Yeah.
Niners money line.
Yeah. They can win a coin flip against these guys for sure. I'm interested to see. I think the Rams are a little bit more of a solved puzzle this year in terms of who they are. And the Niners are a little bit more of an unknown, which I think gives them a hair of an advantage in week one, just situationally.
Can I throw this out there?
Yeah.
You know, I think the Rams have more issues right now on offense than they do on defense. And that could be like a compliment to the team. Like, what happened? So, the way I look at it for the Rams, and then I'll let you go after this, and I appreciate the time as always. I'm being serious. What happens? Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. So Puka has the off-field stuff, and I hope he gets everything straight. Devontae is older, right? He's going to the Hall of Fame, but he's an older player. You take one of those guys out of the Jenga Tower, I think the whole thing comes crumbling down. How are they scoring? I think they're a little flimsier than a lot of people think they are, even if I acknowledge their upside, Drew, is to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they got their quarterback of the future situation solved, though, right, Nick?
Yes, which will be great in 2 years or next year, not this year.
I don't know about great. I've seen times before. No, I think in general the offensive weapons are a huge question mark. It does feel like year in year out, Sean McVay kind of, you know, makes something happen with players who otherwise would not expect to contribute. So that may be ultimately how this goes again, because McVay is a genius. But that said, the offensive issues for the Rams are real. And like, honestly, the idea that Puka Nacua is like perfectly ready to go and mentally healthy and, you know, will be the offensive player of the year runner-up we saw last year, week one, I kind of need to see him get through training camp and be present and be there, because all the stuff going on with him off the field spooks me big time. And the fact that, you know, they were trying to make a deal for AJ Brown. Like, I think they're telling you to a degree that this is a problem. So you're absolutely right. And this could very quickly turn into, you know, a Rams kind of leaning into their running attack and a lot of kind of more of a sloggy offense if they're not able to get the passing game going to the level we saw last year with MVP Stafford.
And they drafted another tight end. Like, it's going to be a ton of 12. It'll be some 13, some 12. It's going to be fascinating. I could talk to you for hours. But unfortunately, that's not really how this works. And you've already been very generous with your time. You're the best. @whale_capper, NBC Sports Betting Analyst. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Hey, best luck, man. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Do you have a Preakness bet in like 20 seconds?
Incredible. he's the class runner in the field, and he's going to go off at like 4-1, which is bananas because he's the best closer in this field. And this is a race with lots of early speed. I think you're going to see a really hot pace early going, and Credibolt's going to clean up the mess. He drew kind of an outside draw, which is perfect. He's going to be able to sit a trip and ultimately close like a thunderbolt of lightning. Credibolt is your winner of the 151st running. How about that?
Very, very frightening me. Drew, you're the best. We'll talk to you next time, buddy.
Hey, best luck, man.
All right, our friend Drew Dinsick joining us on the show. He's the best. So generous with his time. Stud with the NBA, stud with the NFL, great with horse racing. Maybe we'll do Drew for the French Open as well with that coming up. You know, I'll just say this. I hate to say it. Mike Somich is going to join us tomorrow on the show, our friend from VSiN and Racing Dudes, to give us, you know, his thoughts, his betting thoughts on the Preakness. I love betting on sports. I'm not a horse racing handicapper, but like I like to bet horse races. I just take stuff that like really smart people come on the show, like Drew and Mike and others will say. I've never been less into a Triple Crown race than I am for this one coming up. And like there have been some Belmonts you're not into, but the fact that Golden Tempo is not racing and you remove the Triple Crown potential, it sucks. And I'm not saying horse racing sucks. I think some people will argue that it does, but I don't want you to get into animal treatment or anything like that. Just that I wish there were more juice heading into this race. I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited for it. If you are, I wish I were more excited is all I'm saying. All right. On the other side, we'll get into some NFL point spreads from week one, some Major League Baseball, some hockey, some NBA. We're rolling here on a Wednesday on Westwood One Sports.
Tomorrow night, it's a Westwood One special presentation. NFL Schedule Release 26, hosted by Scott Graham and Mike Golic. What's your team's toughest stretch, and where are the wins? We'll tell you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern on Westwood One Sports.
Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter. My dad passed away unexpectedly. Of course, it was awful in every way, but we are very grateful that he had life insurance. So even after he was gone, he was still able to provide for us. And that's why I have life insurance for my family. Ethos.com. They make it fast and easy to get covered. It's 100% online. You get a quote in seconds, and you can apply in minutes and get covered the same day.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. Rates may vary.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym games on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.